Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on.
I was working a little this morning, found the gospel recorded by the Saint John, the sixth chapter. I want you to look your attention to the 16th verse of John, chapter 6, verse 16, and it reads, "When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they gathered to a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it is dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. The strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. And they had rowed 3.5 miles. They saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, 'It is I. Don't be afraid.' Then they were willing to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed." And we want to preach briefly on this subject, on a word to the fearful. A word to the fearful. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news for the whole gospel. It's good news for all of our desperate questions, our emotional needs, our silent pleas or prayers, and all of our unstable needs or gloomy emotions. The gospel, as we know it, is also good news for every one of our worries and fears.
Yes, sir.
So in our text this morning, we have an interesting scene. We have a little boat that's carrying the disciples of Jesus from one side of the Sea of Galilee to another. And on their way, during their travel, a storm arose at sea. And therefore, the small talk that was going on in the boat before the storm came turned into frantic cries. The mood changed. Eyes that for a moment before had been full of laughter were now glazed with terror. Muscles that were once relaxed are now strained and tight. The disciples, when the storm came, were afraid. They had unconceivable worship. It raced through the disciples in the boat. They had a fear of finding themselves in a water creek. And that drove all forms of reason from the mouth. It froze their hearts with a terrible dread. Yet, here's Jesus in the boat, worn out from the labors of the day. He's having what we call a calm confidence in the Father. Here he is asleep while the storm is raging. And here comes the disciples, fearful, worried, realizing that they were helpless. And because they were helpless, because of the storm, they were fearful and full of terror. So they ran to where their friend lay asleep. And while the waves were tossing the boat, their fear-clad hands shook Jesus to wake him up from his much-needed sleep. And on the lips of the disciples, we hear a fearful plea, a desperate request for aid. We hear them say, "Lord, save us, or we will perish." Amen. Suddenly awakened from his sleep, distressed by the disciples' needless fear, startled by their groundless dread, here's Jesus. Jesus, who's looking upon the disciples and wondering why they're forgetting that God is still the king of the sea. He looked at them and told them, "Why are you so fearful? Why do you have so little faith?" Then he spoke, and the storm passed. Jesus spoke as much to the storm in their hearts as he did to the storm on the sea, requesting that the terror that the disciples felt, he requested that it calm down, putting at peace their bottled and distressed fear. You see, Jesus is more than a match for our fears. Surely in this day and time in which we live, we need a gospel that will and can speak to our fears. Now, don't get me wrong, but we have a good reason to be afraid. You see, fear, if you look at it closely, it's a precious gift. It's an alarm clock at the moment of danger. A person without fear is considered a fool. For there's a parable in the Gospel of Luke of a judge who feared not God, nor had regard for man. And he's labeled and called an unjust God. And by the fact that he had no fear of God, you can also categorize him as being an insane God. You see, for fear has left this world in which we live. People afraid of ignorance have built schools. Amen. People afraid of sickness have built hospitals. People afraid of lawlessness and disorder have formed governments. And people afraid of governmental wrongdoing and social atrocities have refused to obey unjust laws at the cost of their very own lives. This healthy instinct, however, can drive us crazy if we allow it to totally rule our lives. cannot allow fear to totally govern us, because so many of us are afraid of so many things. There was a time when we spoke of death as our greatest fear, but now life has grown so complex and perplexing and caused many of us to become afraid of life itself. We're afraid of our friends. We're afraid for our children. We're afraid for ourselves. And since there lurks in each of us a deep swamp of evil and sin, treachery and betrayal, many of us are afraid to venture outdoors. The law, the things that we're afraid of, an exhaustive list. We're afraid of sickness. We're afraid of sorrow. We're afraid of suffering. We're afraid of jobs being too much for us. We're afraid of crowds. We're afraid of everything. And a lot of the loud, bold talk that we hear in society today is done to cover the fears of individuals that frustrate them and make them ashamed. But I'm here to tell you that there's a word for those who are fearful. There's a word for those who are afraid. First, bear in mind that the gospel of Christ Jesus gives us a status of being a possessed people. We belong to somebody. Secondly, this gospel gives us a place where we can air our fears and place our requests. And then thirdly, the gospel of Christ Jesus gives us a partner, a companion to go with us through whatever we're called to go through. You see, one of the reasons our fears appear so big is because we have that sense, we have that feeling that we're wandering through this world loosely, alone, that therefore not listed on anybody's list of assets, to be considered no more than dust, being marked of the dreams that we have, that a terrible state to be in, having no relationship to anybody that's big enough to protect us is perhaps the reason why we're afraid. Our reason that many of us are stricken and afraid because we have no sense of being possessed and owned. We feel like we're drifting. We feel like spiritual displaced people wandering aimlessly across the face of the years the Lord has blessed us with. Do you realize and understand what a difference it is to be worthily on? There was a day in Jewish history when the children of Israel were under the threat of invasion of the Moabites and the Ammonites. The whole nation of Israel gathered before the tabernacle and called on God for deliverance. For the Bible tells us that all the men of Judea stood before the Lord with their wives and their children, and they looked to God as a possessed people would look to their master and protector. And the answer that they God from the Lord was, be not afraid or dismayed by the reason of their great multitude. For the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And then Jesus tells us over and over again that the very hairs of your head are numbered. Therefore, fear not. We need to be armed. Our false flight to freedom is a flight to fear. For we were born to be worthily possessed. Parents own us and protect us while we're children. And then when we're grown and this unstable thing called life is upon us, we need a heavenly Father to possess and to keep us. And thus, having been possessed, we have a hiding place, the shadow of a great rock and refuge, as the Bible says. You see, the good news of the New Testament is that we also have a place to pour out our feet and to make our petitions known. You see, psychologists tell us that one of the dangers of our fears is that they get repressed and driven down in our psyche and in our innermost self, and they spread their venom and secrete their voice. But we got good news. There's a thing called the gospel. And what a privilege it is to be able to lay our fears and worries before the Lord. This is the gospel. So these men, these disciples of Jesus, are sailing on this stormy sea, and they remember that they had somebody on the boat with them to whom they could cry to. And they said, Lord, save us, unless we perish. Each and every one of us has an appointed place where we can cry out our deepest fears. There's a secret place of prayer where the soul can bow and cry and understand and tell God things that we wouldn't dare tell anybody else. There's a meeting place where God waits to hear and bless his people's deepest needs. How many souls have crossed their rivers and have risen from the valley because they found the God, they found in God a place where they can report their words and their trust. The gospel, to those who are afraid, gives us a sense of a partner that's going through whatever we're going through with us. There's a sense of loneliness in the world. We move about proud, but we're still lonely. We don't have a friend where that friend will sit with us in the shadow recesses of our innermost fear. There's sickness in life, and there's great sorrow there. That last bleak fact of death before it, there's a thousand of others knowing fear. But the disciples remember. They remember that they had Jesus on board. They were there. The storm was there. Fear was there. But Jesus was there too. And Jesus being there made all the difference in the world. We have a part. And the gospel tells us that we have a friend that just doesn't go part of the way with us. But we have a friend who goes all the way. Somebody needs to say amen. And that's the difference in having faith in Jesus. When you have faith in Jesus, he won't leave you or forsake you. But he never promised you that you're exempt from joy or sorrow. He doesn't promise you that you're exempt from pain and pleasure. But he does let you know that whatever you're going through, he's right there with you. You see, a faith in Jesus is gives you the strength to be able to look at trouble and no break, because you realize and understand that I've got a Savior who's got my back. And having recognized those troubles as they are, the gospel informs us that when we see trouble, we need to celebrate. Because when trouble comes, we've got the promise that we are conquerors. As a matter of fact, the word is saying more than conquerors. Can I get a witness? In the midst of whatever is troubling you, Jesus says you are more than conquerors. There's no exemption from the trouble, but you have strength to overcome your trouble. Listen to the Lord when he says to Israel, "Oh Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, the river will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be born, neither shall the flame kindle upon you, because I am the Lord your God." That's the word that I want to leave with you today. No matter what's troubling you, no matter what you're scared of, the Lord is on your side. And if you've got faith in Jesus, Jesus has a record of taking care, twisting it, and working it out for your good. He said, "Fear not, don't be afraid. I have overcome this world." Somebody needs to say, "Thank you, Jesus." Somebody needs to bless his name this morning. Somebody needs to understand that we don't have time to be fearful. We've got to praise his holy name. Can I go with you? Now, who the Lord is? Somebody say, "Amen." Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen.
Camera's not.